welcome back to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime using the free episode rule. I'm your host, Nikki, and joining me again are Ace.
Hello.
And Rhodes.
Hello.
Welcome and welcome. As mentioned in our last episode, a quick PSA, we are recording this episode at a slightly different time because of the current heat wave in the UK. So apologies if you can hear fans or otherwise strange noises in the background. It is hot, we are melting, but the show must go on. And today we're talking about Scarlet Nexus. Now, this has been produced by Sunrise, quite a well-known anime studio. They've worked on things like Gintama, Cowboy Bebop, Code Geass, and a personal favorite, Planet Ez. And it's an action, military, sci-fi, superpower. It's got everything, let's be honest. Rated PG-13. And is, I want to say, an adaptation of the game, but it's kind of not. People were led to believe at the start that it was going to be like a side story, but it's kind of a strange amalgamation of everything. But we'll get into that in a minute. Now, I'm the only person here who has actually played Scarlet Nexus, so this is going to be interesting. But yeah, the third episode aired. Let's talk about those three episodes. And I guess, as always, I didn't even say this for the last episode, but I'll say it this time. Spoiler warning for the first three episodes of Scarlet Nexus. And I want to start. I want to start with something very, very... Well, it's probably controversial, and I'm going to be really blunt. If you plan to play Scarlet Nexus, you haven't, but you are thinking of watching the anime, or you have started watching the anime, I actually strongly think you shouldn't watch the anime. Because, to be frank, and I'll get into it a bit more later, the game does a much better job at telling the story, and also the anime basically spoils some of the major twists of the game in the first episode. So, but I'll have my rant in a bit. What did you two think about it?
My
first note was, no way, the main character is son of the president and an uber elite member of the OSF, and he's just been crowned the best member of the new class and thinks he sucks. People think that he sucks because his power isn't strong. Is this Scarlet Nexus or 30 other anime?
30? Only 30? Wow.
No, that's just the season.
See, I thought Scarlet Nexus was boring as fuck. Right, and the reason I thought it was so boring is because it feels like they're trying to give away as little as they can about the video game until people have had time to play it, but at the same time they have to also give things away about the video game because it wouldn't make sense if they didn't.
So okay, I'm just going to jump straight in with this, and again, spoilers. The game, okay, so the first episode, I'll do this very quickly. The first episode gives us a slightly different look at the start of the game, because the game, the events that unfold in the first three episodes, they're similar to what happens in the game, but they're at different times and in different locations. You've got to bear in mind, though, the game is played from two perspectives. You play from the perspectives of Yurito and Kasane differently, but the show is trying to amalgamate them, although it seems to be focusing on Yurito. The problem is... here's a good one. They meet for the first time in, like, the class... I guess, if you will, like after all being enrolled, and then they go straight on a mission, and that's when they like save each other. In the game, they meet each other for the first time simply by passing by each other at the shrine, then the others attack, and that's when they have literally the same exchange, but it's at a different location, whereas the show decided to do it in a different order. The shrine visit happens in the second episode. I should probably also point out, and again, I should start with descriptions, ready? The whole premise of Scarlet Nexus is that it's in like a weird alternative future where people have psychic powers. There's these creatures called Others that are like trying to eat human brains. And we're following two new members of the OSF, which is the Other Suppression Force, as they fight to save humanity and also uncover a conspiracy. Which is where my first major issue with the show comes in, is that it drops that conspiracy right away and gives you hints about what characters are doing and their ulterior motives way earlier than they appear in the game, to the point that it kind of makes events less impactful and have weirder consequences. I get it, you can't do as much with an anime, but like I do think the anime has full-on bastardized the plot of the game in a way that's kind of crap.
I feel like this happens so often though, because the anime is just really, it's an advertisement for the video game. They don't want you to watch the anime, they want you to watch a bit of it and then go and buy the video game, because the video game will make them more money. Like, that's what's going on here, isn't it? They don't want you to care about the anime. They want you to go buy a different product.
Potentially. I mean, it's a weird one as well, because let's move away from my rant, and let's get into like what we thought more about the show. There was a lot of CG usage that was very noticeable, like really noticeable.
I actually quite liked the others were in CG.
They were fine. The others are awesome. I love the way they made them move in the show, very reminiscent of the game. But like, there's a lot of scenes of characters running, and that's like really bizarre CG.
Something I noticed about the fight scenes was lots of them had no backgrounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're fighting in an alley, but no, it's just a red background behind them, plain red.
I think that was them trying to match the visual style of the game and not maybe doing as good a job.
Yeah.
It just looked crap.
I did find that, like, a lot of what I was watching in it, just it looked a bit below par. It looked a bit tacky. I didn't like the CG of the others. I like the design. Like, I love the way they look. I think they're really interesting. Like, the art of them is very good, very nice. But like their CG animation, like, I hate shows that have different animation styles at the same time. I don't think it very rarely does it look good, and most of the time it looks terrible.
Transformers Energon would beg to differ.
Of course. I was wondering how long it would take for Transformers to be brought into the podcast.
Episode 3. That's how long it took. But yeah, it doesn't look great. Like, it looks almost like they decided towards the end of making this anime, where they were like, you know what would make these stand out? It would put them in CG. And they quickly had to club it together.
It's weird as well, because a lot of the characters, they're kind of pretty much the same design as they are in the game. But for some reason, Yuriko, for example, he's really wide. Like, he's a lot wider than he is in the game. Bearing in mind, these characters are meant to be, most of them are like 16 or 17. I mean, it's confusing because, like, and this is something the show doesn't explain until like the second episode as a passing comment, is that everyone is taking drugs to stop them from aging, whereas the game explains that right away.
I thought that was you can take drugs to stop your aging.
No, this is the thing. There's a lot of, and I'm nitpicking because, again, I'm quite a fan of the game. But like, the show has things that happen or are explained, and they're kind of just glossed over. For example, in the fight scenes, they all put their hoods on and they do the cool moves. That isn't something that they just do willy-nilly in the game. I mean, as a gameplay system, it's a power-up you can use for a limited time. But like, the whole premise behind it is it enhances their powers, but it puts a strain on their brains, so they can't do it as much. Like, at the end of the third episode, when the guy uses the brain field, the big thing about that is that, yeah, you can only use it for like 40 seconds, otherwise you die, because it's just so much strain on your brain.
My note literally is brain field.
Right. From what I understand, the others, they eat the brains of people, right? That's what they said in this anime. You know what I don't get about that? Is that this new like bunch of recruits that we're watching, they got told this like halfway through fighting them. Like, did no one think to like mention this at any point during their training that this happened?
I made a note along those lines as well. Why don't people know that others eat brains? Even if it's not broadcast, there have to be rumors based on what people say.
Yeah, like, someone turns around and goes, oh, they eat brains, and all of them are like, no way. And you're like, if you were that good and that talented, surely you knew this, right? Or at least you had some inkling of what they did. Like, clearly you know nothing about these things you're fighting.
For some reason, like, their database has all of the information about how Kasane's adopted, despite the fact that that isn't a thing in the game. But that's just like, we need a way to tell the viewers that, which makes sense. So I guess there's just a database by everyone's personal details. But we won't tell them that the others eat brains. The thing is, I've just had this thought, and I think it actually sums up my stance on this show very well, is the game is obviously trying to tell, for the most part, it's an anime game, but it's trying to tell a fairly serious and interesting and complex plot. The anime felt like they were trying to make it a slice of life. Because, like, for example, a couple of the characters are completely different personalities in the show as opposed to the game. Like, Nagi, like, Yuriko's friend, is just super focused on, like, I'm going to get a girlfriend, I'm going to flirt with everyone, yeah, life is great. Where in the game, there's a little bit of that. Like, he wants to make advances on Naomi, but, like, it's much more kind of passive. Whereas it's like, that seems to be all this guy cares about. And even some of, like, the jokes and the moments, like, it feels like they were trying to make it a little bit slice of lifey, more kind of high school. Yeah. As opposed to what it actually is, which is like a, you know, humanity trying to fight against. Because the game, even though the age of the characters is like teenagers, the game does a good job at kind of finding that middle ground between it's like, yeah, they're young, but they're having to deal with some pretty fucked up shit. And you see the sort of repercussions of that, whereas the anime just doesn't. It just kind of cuts all over that.
Yeah. You know what? I've got a question for you all, actually. Am I right in thinking that, like, the OSF, they have to, like, combine their brain power at times to do things, don't they? Almost like a, I guess you could say it's like a hive mind, I suppose.
Yeah, that's, so it's called the Struggle Arms System, the SAS, which is like, in the game is explained as like, I mean, it's the core gameplay thing, like you borrow the powers of others, but the idea is like, you're all linked so that you can like share psychic powers and energy, and like, it's it makes sense. Again, in the anime, it's another one of those things which is like, yeah, we have the system. It's just not explained.
Yeah, I have multiple notes saying, what are these, what's with the masks, what's with these tentacles, I still don't understand these tentacles.
This is like, and I get it, it's difficult to explain. I mean, to give some comparison, the game opens with them basically doing the test that assigns them to the platoon, which shows you the sort of like plug tentacles and how much they hurt. Then it's the tutorial, then it cuts to like them, like they graduated, they've been assigned, you go to the shrine, then there's the first incident, then you meet their platoons. And by the time you get to the events that are happening in like the third episode, that's like 6-7 hours into the game. Whereas the anime decides to spend, and I appreciated them spending a little bit more time in the first episode doing some world building at the start. I kind of liked that. But then, especially the third episode, the pacing was just like, bam, 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 bam. All these things just happening because they're just like, we got to fit a 60-hour game into, I think, a 12-episode series.
Yeah. I think that's fair. It's just, it felt like, it's like I said at the start, it felt like they were trying to rush to get loads in to explain a lot that would be explaining what would probably, I don't know how long the game is, but it's probably like 30, 40 hours, let's say. So they're trying to explain a lot in half an hour, well, 20 minutes, half an hour episodes. But at the same time, they were trying not to give away too much because they still want people to go play the game. And it was just bizarre.
But you say that, they do. They give away some of the big twists of the first half of the game in literally the first two episodes. Like the whole like conspiracy and like Seiran like trying to like overthrow, and like they drop a couple of other places as well. Like they mentioned Togetsu, which I probably mispronounced, so apologies. Like that stuff isn't even introduced until much later. And I get it, it's a different pacing, it's a different medium, but like this is why I think if you're planning to play the game, don't watch the anime, because if the game, yes, it takes longer to get to all these story beats, but if you're willing to spend that time, I think you'll have a much better narrative experience. Plus, you get all the side character development that obviously isn't going to be in the show. Like, there was a bit in the third episode where you see, I think it's Gemma, like, dealing with, like, it alludes to there's something going on with Gemma, and that maybe, like, oh, are they double-crossing? Like, you know, I haven't even seen that bit in the game yet. And I'm like, you know, nearly at the end of my first playthrough, and I'm just like, wait, what? When did that happen? But even like moments where, and we'll get into this in a second, like the sort of end of, well, beginning of the third episode where the thing happens with Naomi. And then it's like the people turn up, they take her away, more people turn up. In the game, that entire section is like an hour and a half where they go somewhere. They like track where they've gone. There's a fight between a really important character. That character hasn't even been introduced into the show yet, so don't know what's going on there. Instead, in the show, and again, it's a pacing thing, that entire sequence just happens in like one room over the course of like 30 seconds.
Yeah. The start of the third episode, my notes are, why'd she turn into crystals? Where did the other come from? Because I
get some fucking dirty Final Fantasy 13 flashbacks here with the crystals.
I don't actually remember if the crystals are even in the game, but the revelation is that, like, yeah, Naomi gets turned into another. That's like the first big, like, plot development in the game as well. Is that, like, Naomi is turned into another, And then that's kind of the driving force moving forward. But it's interesting as well, because like the way they deal with it and like the characters that know, again, is different in the show to in the game. And I get it. They're trying to make two stories line up.
Mm. I just think with in that third episode, what are they called? Seiran. Seiran?
Yeah,
I can't help but feel like they're just Umbrella. But that's what they are, aren't they? Like they're just some weird corporation who are actually doing something evil, but they're trying their best to not let people know. But someone who's like important within the corporation is in on it as well, and they're leading it. It's Resident Evil. That's what it is.
I do have a note: conspiracies within conspiracies,
wrapped in a pastry.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Putting away the pacing and like the comparisons of the game, which is I can't not do. If there wasn't a game, like if we didn't have that point of reference, how did you actually find the first three episodes? Like in terms of like if you were going in completely blind, you didn't know there was a game, how engaged were you with the three episodes?
It was a bit confusing because, as I said, I still don't know what the masks or the tentacles are supposed to do, because they're just, oh, I'll get the tentacles out and now we can move rocks somehow. And they put on masks sometimes to fight, not all the time to fight. I do like the voice acting, the music, the creature design. My note is the others are like if Greek mythology created Pokemon.
That is a terrifying thought.
Jesus. I'm going to invoke that. The whole thing is too complicated. You know, I still can't look past this idea that they're giving away stuff that's in the game, but without explaining it. Because they want you to play that to get the full explanation. But it doesn't make me want to watch anymore. It doesn't make me want to play the game. It just confuses me and it makes me disinterested because I'm like, it's not confusing in a way of like, in like three or four episodes, this is all going to tie together. It's confusing in a way where everything just has holes in it. And you're like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. Why are you doing that? Like, there's no kind of like, twist in any episode is going to have all this come together and make it good.
I saw an interesting I wasn't really looking, but it just popped up in my feed, and like someone made a really good point in that because the game obviously has two perspectives that you play from, what might have been better is if maybe you only played one and then the second perspective was the anime. Mm. And then that way you could argue why there's a couple of like loopholes and stuff, but even still, like it's
But then you'd either have to play as a woman or have to watch an anime centered on a woman, and gamers just wouldn't do
that. The
irony is as well is like I haven't finished the playthrough with Yuriko, but like the game wants you to think that they're like equal part important, but honestly, like, and whilst you can play the game in either perspective at your own choice, at least to me, Kasane is definitely the main character. Like, she's far more important. And the anime kind of alludes to that as well. There's a few things at the kind of like flashbacks, if you will, and in the intro and outro, which again, if you're paying attention, the anime is less subtle about some of the later themes as opposed to the game. Like, the game kind of keeps you guessing until the big reveals, whereas the anime is just kind of like, if you're paying attention, like, you'll get it. But it does it in a way that I feel like the anime tried to be more than it was. Like, it almost feels like they were trying to do a little bit more and maybe just didn't have time, or yeah, I don't know, but like it's definitely a kind of subpar quality to what I was expecting. And there's nothing wrong with the voice acting or like the music, although I'm sad that it has a different opening to that of the game, because the game's opening is an absolute banger.
Oh, I think the opening sucks in the anime.
Anime opening is terrible,
so boring. Like, it just, you know, you put it on and you immediately just deflate. You're like, oh.
It's funny as well, because the opening to the game is an anime. It's an animation, so it's just like, I assumed it was going to be the same, but it's not, which is a shame. But that kind of just resonates how I feel with the show. It's kind of a bit of a subpar. It's a little bit underwhelming. But here's a question to the two of you. Did you notice the secret messages?
No.
Okay, so fun fact, listeners. Every episode of the anime has a secret message. It's obvious because it's English text. The most easiest one to notice is in the second episode when they go to the shrine. There's just a random like plaque with English text.
Oh, I spotted that.
Yeah. Those are codes that you can enter into the game to get extra rewards. It's an entire side quest in the game that promotes the anime.
Hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
How do you delete that?
You can't, but you can always just use a Steam walkthrough to get the codes.
That's a really good point. What's the point of putting that in? Because someone's just going to compile a list of them anyway.
that's literally, until I watched the three episodes of this podcast, that's what I'd been doing, is just like checking every week what the code was.
I haven't had a good place to put this note, but I did want to bring it up. The graduating class of the main character, there's 2,000 people in it, apparently, they say in the anime. And they're all classed as elite. What's the population of the city if 2,000 are the elite?
It's weird as well, because the show touches on the fact that like the volunteer recruits are treated less than the scouted recruits, but it glosses over it. Again, something in the game that's like really pointed out is like, yeah, there's like a massive divide. Like, because that's the thing, is like Yuto and Nagi had to go through a much more rigorous training process to prove that they could do it because they were volunteers, as opposed to Kasane and Naomi because they were scouted. And this is the thing as well, is like the power difference between the two main characters is so much bigger in the game as opposed to the anime. I don't know. Scarlet Nexus is, and this is only the second show we're talking about this season, but it's probably one of the weirdest, and in terms of like, I don't really know where it sits, at least for me. But it feels like it was something that, yeah, had to work with very strange constraints to get what we got. That's a sentence. And I don't really know. For me, if it's, yeah, well, I've made my point clear. I spoilers, I'm probably not going to keep watching it. I'm just going to throw that out now, even though that should be saved for the end of season episode where we give final scores. I'm not going to be watching this one. Like, I didn't even want to watch the third episode. I was so disappointed with the second episode that I was like, do I have to watch the third?
It was a slog. When I got to the third episode, it was, I thought the whole, like, Naomi becoming another was kind of interesting, which in itself tied me into a third episode. I was like, well, I'll see where that goes. Like, there's something to propel off there, I suppose. But I got like half of episode three and it was just dragging. I was like, this, in honesty, like the closing sequence of Scarlet Nexus plays about 20 minutes in to the anime. So when you take out the intro as well, it's probably only like 18 minutes long. It felt like I was watching it for like an hour. I was like, it won't end.
And that's like, you can almost forgive the first episode because it's setting things up, and because the second episode ends, as you said, like it is, there is an interesting cliffhanger, but then it's just resolved in like 30 seconds. Well, it's not resolved, but they move on very quickly in the third episode, and it just, yeah, they're trying to play up some of the other aspects of the show, but it's, I don't know, it's an odd one.
I think if you enjoy the game, like casually, you'll probably like this. If you're just a casual fan of both, I think you'll enjoy it. But I think if you're coming out of it, someone who doesn't play a game, you're looking for a good anime to tell the story, you won't enjoy what this has, because it's not coherent enough. There's good ideas, and you may like those ideas, but those ideas just are so all over the place that they'd be better suited just picking a couple of them and just running with them. But they're just like, every like 5 minutes it's like, new thing that doesn't make sense, new thing that doesn't make sense. You know, please just stop. Focus on the last new thing.
And this is why, because again, literally up until it aired, no one actually knew if it was going to be an adaptation, a side story, or what. But like, there was a period of time where we thought it was going to be a side story. And I think that would have been better. Or even if it was just like each episode was like from a side character's point of view and you just learned more about them, that would probably be better. But they're trying to cram too much in. I've made my stance very clear. I think it's a meh from me. But is it a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a meh from you, Ace, those first three episodes?
It's a meh.
Rhodes?
I gave it a thumbs down. It's nonsense.
Absolute nonsense.
Absolute nonsense.
There you go. Scarlet Nexus, second episode of the season, and second show of the season, sorry. And it's, so it's disappointing, I think, is how I'll put it. I think I wouldn't even say it's necessarily entertaining on its own, forgetting about the game, but
I think the problem is it's almost like a chore to watch, because you've got to keep tabs on so many moving parts that they're not really explaining, and they keep quickly moving on from. That's like three episodes of it. You're like, I don't know what's happening. You keep introducing things and you keep moving on from those things you've introduced, and it's like, after three episodes it was overwhelming. Imagine that's the way it goes for the whole series. Imagine 12 episodes of that. Infuriating.
That's a very good point, because when they first introduced conspiracy, I thought, oh, that's interesting, that's something that they're going to refer to until it culminates. Nope, just later in that episode.
Yeah.
Here's the payoff to what we were hinting about.
It felt like, it as an anime, it feels very episode to episode, where like every episode has like a thing it reveals, And then they only ever mention it again in that episode. Like, it's only relevant to the episode it's mentioned in.
Episodic.
Yeah. And it's like, if they do, like, I think this whole episode's a bit. So if they did that for 11 episodes and then somehow managed to tie every single one together in the final episode, it would be outstanding. But they won't be able to do that because that's not what's going to happen.
And just to confirm, it is said to be only 12 episodes. So there's a lot to cram in. But I think that'll do it for Scarlet Nexus. Thank you for joining me, Ace and Rhodes. And of course, thank you very much for listening. As always, we'll be releasing new episodes of the Pals Anime Lounge podcast every Thursday and Saturday at 8 p.m. UK time. So make sure to check back to wherever you're listening to this episode to catch the next one.